Welcome to season two of the Animal Highlight. This season is focused on animals and sound and has been extracted from season four of the Animal Turn podcast, which was originally aired in 2021. In this season, I'm joined with a co-host, and I'm delighted. It's Hannah Hunter, who is a friend and colleague of mine from Queen's University. Hannah is a PhD candidate in the Geography Department at Queen's University and an active member of the Sonic Arts of Place Laboratory at Queen's University, which is also a sponsor of this season. Her research explores the intersections of animals, sound, and extinction, and Hannah is particularly interested in the intersection of how we can build relationships with distant and lost beings through sound, and how sound might be a potent force for representing and challenging the fourth mass extinction. Today, Hannah will look at butterflies. Hi, Hannah. Welcome back to the Animal Turn podcast.
Thank you. Hello.
So what are we talking about in today's highlight?
So thinking about the idea of specimens led me to think about butterflies, because I was thinking about, you know, when you have those specimens of butterflies, they're pinned down on boards and things like that. And I thought, I don't know anything about butterflies and sound. So I'm going to go on an adventure with that. So I went on a bit of a wild ride with this one. So butterfly communication, as you can imagine, is quite, there's a lot we don't know about it because their life worlds are just so radically different from ours. And it's a difficult science to figure out how they're communicating and in what means. But what we do know is that a lot of butterflies, they're thought to be very kind of visually and chemically keen species. So they mostly communicate through pheromones as well as through kind of visual cues. But some butterflies do communicate through sound. So for instance, the Hamadryas butterfly, who are commonly found throughout South America and all the way up to Arizona. So they have the common name of cracker butterflies, and they get this common name because they make the sounds that males make with their wings sounds like cracking. A study by Jane Yak from Carleton University all the way back in 2000 is like the most comprehensive study that exists about this sonic behavior. And she found that butterflies, that the Hamadryas butterfly had been observed to make the sounds in response to their own species, as well as in response to other members of like other birds and other humans. But the exact purpose of these sounds is unclear. It's thought to be territorial or for courtship practices. Actually, Charles Darwin proposed that it might be for courtship practices back in the day. In the observations of Jane Yak, it seemed that the Hamadryas butterflies partly used their sounds to figure out the sex of the other butterflies. So they would kind of go around making these clacking sounds. And if they found another species, another butterfly that also made those cracking sounds, they said, okay, that's a male. So they sort of quickly abandoned each other. But if, while they were going around making these sounds, they found a butterfly who didn't make the sounds back to them, they figured that that was a female, and so that they could go ahead with their courtship ritual. One of the most interesting questions around this, though, is if butterflies are making these sounds for communication, does that mean that they are able to hear? Before this study, the question had not really been explored in detail of whether or not butterflies have kind of ears or how they hear. But the proposal is that they have this membrane on their wings called a Vogel's organ, which kind of functions as their quote-unquote ears. And these organs are consistent with how lots of other insects hear. And bear with me here, it's called a tympanal organ, and it consists of a membrane stretched across a frame backed by an air sac and associated sensory neurons, and sounds vibrate this membrane, and vibrations are sensed by other organs in the insect's body. So That's pretty cool how insects hear. But that was one kind of butterfly. Another kind of butterfly that has a cool acoustic behavior is in the peacock butterfly, and these are said to produce intense ultrasonic clicks that startle and thwart bats that might prey on them. So that's a foreshadowing for the bat communication episode. So peacock butterflies are called this because they have these so-called eye spots on their wings, and they resemble the oval eye-like patterns on a peacock. So usually peacock butterflies are thought to ward off larger predators like birds through eye spot displays. So they'll sort of flash their wings in such a way that these eyes are really visible. And I'm not a butterfly expert, but I think the idea of this is, if you look at pictures of these peacock butterflies, these eye spots look a lot like the eyes of an owl, or who are predators. And so sort of birds who might prey on butterflies, who themselves are preyed on by owls, might mistake the butterfly to be an owl through these eye spots, which is wild, and then be scared away. But with bats, it seems that bats are more scared by the sounds that these eye spot displays make, rather than these ultrasonic sounds, I should say, rather than through the visual side of things. So that's really interesting. My final fun fact about butterfly sounds is less about what they use for communication and more what we can hear. So monarch butterflies, who are well known and well loved, during wind migration, we know that tens of millions of them can be found in hibernating in forests in central Mexico. I found this video on YouTube that hopefully we can share in the show notes of this episode. But an explorer called Phil Torres goes and records the sounds of these tens of millions of butterflies. And he refers to the sounds that they that can be heard to be some of the rarest sounds on Earth. And so the butterflies will hang in clusters off trees in formations that look like huge beehives, or make it look almost like they're fuzz on the side of the trees. And when the sun comes out, the butterflies sort of wake up and come off of the trees. And because there's millions of them, it's sort of this amazing cascading sound that sounds like a waterfall. And it's really cool to listen to. So hopefully you can click on the link and listen to the sounds of monarch butterflies and appreciate them in a new sonic way. So
that sounds
those
amazing.
Are my fun facts.
in reading a bit about bats, I was learning like there's this whole like bat moth sonic, like, because before you spoke about sonic warfare, and there seems to be like an interesting kind of responsiveness to bats as prey. I don't know anything about it, hopefully we'll learn, but I'd never thought about butterfly communication and sound, so that's really fascinating.
Me neither. I mean, when you see them, you can't really hear them, right? We kind of admire butterflies for the way that they look. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes in there's species like that, you think about that so much that then you don't think about sound. And because we often can't hear the sounds ourselves, right? They're outside of our range of hearing. Yeah. So
incredible. Yeah. So completely unrelated, but as you were kind of speaking a bit about butterflies, you know, being outside of the range of things, a friend of mine the other day, she mid-conversation, Patricia Peterson, if she's listening, mid-conversation, she turns to me and she says, "Did you know that humans have stripes?" It's like, what? Did you know that humans have stripes? Yeah. So it turns out cats see human stripes. Okay, and I thought she was just talking. Yes, humans have stripes in our skin, and if you see it under, I think it's ultraviolet light. If you see it under ultraviolet light, you can see, which is weird because I've definitely been to parties where there's ultraviolet lights and I haven't seen my stripes. So there must be a way in which cats see that make these stripes visible to them. But anyway, I'm not doing it justice. Go and Google. It actually looks really gross. Yeah. But humans have stripes along our bodies. So I don't know if you've got if you've got beauty spots, if your beauty spots go in a particular pattern along your body, chances are that's one of your stripes.
But no way.
They're much more pronounced in a different light. And your cats can see those stripes.
Wow.
It blows my mind.
Oh, my God.
So from
that's so interesting. One of the things I find most interesting about studying animals is that we just all experience the world in such different ways. And it's just like we think we have this grip on reality, but we just don't.
Completely.
It's wild.
And those are just such fascinating experiences. Like coming back to butterflies, the idea that a monarch, the migration they do, the distance they go, it's just, you know, the lives they lead are just so much more complicated than we necessarily give thought to. So thank you again, Hannah, so much for joining me on the Animal Highlights. I look forward to the next one. Yay! Thank you to Animals and Philosophy, Politics, Law and Ethics for sponsoring the Animal Turn podcast. Thank you also to the Sonic Arts Studio and the Sonic Arts Place Laboratory, who were sponsors for the fourth season of the Animal Turn podcast that was focused on animals and sound, where, of course, these animal highlights were extracted from. A big thank you also to Hannah Hunter for co-hosting this season of the Animal Highlight with me. This episode was produced by myself, edited by Christian Mentz, and the logo and episode artwork were created by Rebecca Shen. This is The Animal Highlight with me, Claudia Hirtenfelder.